SBS Radio.
Mr. Ambassador, what was your journey out of Ukraine like with your family?
Well, for me, it was just a journey like for all those displaced people in Ukraine. And as you know, there is now the biggest exodus of people out of Ukraine since the outbreak of the war 2 months ago. Over 5 million people have left the country. Another 7 million are internally displaced. So I was there with my family, with my son, who is 5 years old, my daughter, she's 18, and my wife. We all left Kyiv when missiles started flying and Kyiv was bombed. So we fled Kyiv. We came to southwestern part of Ukraine. And several days later, my wife asked me to take her out of the country so that she can feel safe. Kids got traumatized. We spent lots of time in the basements, in different places, because it was very scary, as you can imagine. So I took them to the border with Romania. They crossed the border on foot. That was the fastest way to do that. They eventually ended up staying with my friend's family in Romania, and later I could find a flat for them in Bucharest, in the capital of the country. And in the middle of March, I got appointed as an ambassador to Australia, and I just followed the same route. That is outside of Chernivtsi, which is a city in southwestern part of Ukraine. I crossed the border at the same spot to Romania, and made it to Bucharest. And 5 days later, we boarded the plane and came here.
Could you leave with much stuff? Walking across the border, that would mean you could only bring what you can carry.
Just only two suitcases for the family of four, as you can imagine. This appointment as an ambassador usually doesn't happen quick. It lasts about 6 months. So once that came about, sometime in December, we're discussing with my family, how are we going to ship our stuff? How are we going to move everything? And we just bought a new flat in December, and we moved to a new flat. And, you know, all this moving after 10 years of living in one place, and then you move to another one, you sort of, you know, it's a kind of a difficult endeavor. But we did it, and then we realized how much stuff we have, actually. And then, okay, how are we going to move to Canberra? And the war started, and we packed in 2 hours and we left. So I didn't even have any suit. I didn't have any. Didn't bring any. I just had two pairs of jeans, some T-shirts and sweatshirts, and that's it. And we came here. And I think this is probably the most unusual diplomatic dispatch ever. And I bought myself one suit in Romania. Came here, bought another suit here. Bought myself a new pair of Aaron Williams boots because I figured everybody's wearing them here. So I decided to follow the suit. And in Rome, you do as Romans do. So we just did it. And that's it. And I've been here. I presented my credentials on the 1st of April. And that's been my pretty much this is a 6 week I'm here in Australia.
Why set up an embassy in Australia? This was organized before the war in Ukraine started. What is the intentions behind a new embassy in Australia?
Look, this embassy has been around for over 15 years already. It's not new. Though Australian embassy in Ukraine was established more recently, following MH17 in 2014. But the ideas for embassies is to actually work on improving bilateral relations, trade, investment, political relations, economic relations, tourism, education, so culture and arts. So there are so many different fields that embassies are involved into. But the goal is very simple, is to bring our countries closer together.
A number of Ukrainians have arrived in Australia like you did. Is Australia doing enough to support them here?
Yeah, I think Australia is doing a phenomenal job in terms of accommodating these people coming. And so far, over 1,700 visas have been issued. Over 3,300 people have arrived here. They pretty much dispersed in different parts of Australia. And as you can imagine, these numbers are humble. And I think Australia can very well digest this number of people. But countries like Poland have to host 3 million people. And you can imagine what kind of pressure is that on their educational system, their medical system, on logistics and everything. So in a way that Australia is so far away, it's much easier to accommodate the humble numbers which are coming. But needless to say, I'm extremely thankful that for such a quick turnaround, for the Australian government to create a system of how these people can come here on tourist visa, transform it into a humanitarian visa so that they can get a work permit and access to medical services and education.
Is more support needed?
Certainly, and more support is needed in Ukraine. Look, it's a full-scale war. The weapons which are used against Ukraine have not been used in any conflict since the Second World War. Ballistic missiles, cruise missiles, thermobaric bombs, cluster bombs. This is a different kind of war. This war has not happened in the Middle East. This is kind of a different, difficult situation in terms of the number of equipment deployed, troops deployed, and missiles used. This is really something unbelievable. And as we keep on fighting the Russians, we do need the support of the free democratic world. And definitely Australia is punching above its weight in terms of providing us with weapons, with protected vehicles such as Bushmaster, with anti-tank missiles, which Australia has procured for us in Europe, as well as this artillery, which was sent recently. We need more. We need more weapons. We need more protected vehicles because, as you can imagine, we are spending so much per day in terms of the ammunition for artillery, in terms of the of everything, right? Because it's the front is big. People are dying. When my president talked to 60 Minutes here more recently, he said that when we say it's a challenge in Ukraine means death. And that's pretty serious. And my Facebook is every day I see 4, 5, 10 people of mutual friends who are killed in combat, sometimes killed as civilians. This is unbearable. And also hearing the reports about this atrocious war crimes which the Russian troops have perpetrated in Ukraine, it's just heartbreaking. Torture, rape, murder, summary executions. The surroundings of Kyiv, where the Russian troops were based, we are now uncovering the dead bodies, and it's piling up. We're getting new fightings, and it's now around 1,000 people, civilians, who were just killed just because they were Ukrainian.
Yeah, we'll come back to that in a second, but just briefly back on the Ukrainians here in Australia. The government has given temporary visas to a number of Ukrainians coming into Australia. In reality, is this support temporary, or do we need to see more certainty?
Look, the temporary visas are issued for 3 years, and I think 3 years is enough for the time being. And I understand some people will stay here and will go back. You know, these people left because they didn't want to leave. You have to understand that people didn't want to leave the country. They could have left if they wanted much earlier. Those who wanted to leave, they left a long time ago. These people had a good, normal life. Now many of them who left have had their houses destroyed. So they don't have nowhere to go back, right? So anyways, the system which has been provided here is good. And I'm, as an ambassador of Ukraine, very thankful for that.
You mentioned just before about anti-tank missiles that Australia has procured. Can you tell me more about those?
Look, I cannot give you more information. I mean, this is what I can share, whatever was public, and that was public, that anti-tank missiles were procured for Ukraine and transferred to Ukraine. I think that's important that Australia is doing it. You know, defense industry is complicated, and sometimes it makes sense just to send money, and it could be procured in Europe for Ukraine rather than sending it from here, and we totally understand it. But we were very pleasantly surprised by the Bushmasters that the Australian government could provide. And because it's been out there, you know, my president addressed the parliament, he asked for those Bushmasters, next day he got them. You know, it was confirmed that they would be supplied. And Australia is now in the news in Ukraine very often. So I get these calls from my friends, and they ask me, so why is that we've never heard about Australia before, and all of a sudden there are so many news about Australia? And they ask, is it because of you? And I tell them, no. It's because of the Australian people. Because Australian people want to help Ukraine. They are writing to their members of parliament. They're writing to their government. They're asking for support. Now we have elections, so every Australian can ask his or her candidate in the constituency, what are you doing for Ukraine? And every politician has to say, this is what we're doing. This is what we plan to do. So that's not because of me. That's because of the Australian people.
Do you think Australians should be asking more this election of their politicians to do more for Ukraine?
Yes, please do. Carry on. Ask for more. You see, it's so brutal there. It's so, the devastation is so high. We will need Australian investment. We will need to trade with Ukraine. We will need that money to come in and develop our infrastructure, rebuild the houses, rebuild the ports, rebuild schools, hospitals. It's all now being destroyed. The cost of this war is now estimated at around $1 trillion. We'll need a generation or two to rebuild.
What have the Bushmasters been used for? How useful are they?
From what I hear, the reports from the Ministry of Defense and from the armed forces, they are used for the transport of personnel from the battlefield and back to the rear. They are not used, these are not fighting vehicles, we all know that, but they are very well designed in a V shape at the bottom. So when that vehicle hits a mine, the mine explodes, but the personnel is intact and is not affected. And they've been tested in Iraq and Afghanistan and some other places. So I've seen the videos and footage from Ukraine. Ukrainian soldiers are driving them, and they've also been able to mount the machine guns on top. And then that's out there. That's already protecting lives in Ukraine.
And what else does Ukraine need from Australia? You mentioned money. Does it come down to rebuilding costs, or is it more weapons? What does Ukraine need?
Look, definitely we need more money for weapons. That's for sure, because it's just being spent at a staggering scale. We need money to stabilize our economy. Our economy is now suffocating. 70% of export in Ukraine goes from the Black Sea ports. The Black Sea ports are now blocked by the Russian military vessels and all the floating mines in the sea. So we cannot export our produce, which is agriculture, vegetable oil, animal feed, iron ore, steel products, steelworks. All of that is now blocked in the ports. And our economy is really suffocating. So we need to prop up the economy. We need to stabilize the macroeconomic situation. So we've been asking the government of Australia to also consider helping us with direct financial aid, which could be used for different purposes within the government. Of course, we need help with finding and freezing Russian assets, confiscating those assets and being used as reparations for Ukraine. We need more sanctions on Russia and providing no access to their ships to the ports here. And doing every work possible here in the region, working with your allies in the Indo-Pacific, making sure that they comply with the sanctions which are imposed by Australia, but also by the US, by Britain, and by the coalition of countries who are now supporting Ukraine.
How does the war in Ukraine end?
I hope it ends soon, but I don't see the end of it now. It has to end. All wars end, right? We just don't know when this one is going to end and how it's going to end. You know, every day more and more people are killed. Every day more and more infrastructure is destroyed. This is serious. I don't know, all of our generation of children from Ukraine, now most of them have left the country. It's women and children who left. And these children are now growing up knowing war. And even talking to my grandparents who still remember the Second World War when they were alive, I could feel how traumatized they were 40, 50 years after that. So we now have a whole generation of Ukrainian children who will carry this with them until they die. And you can imagine what an impact it's going to have on our society, on the way we think, and the way we've been just, you know, affected by this horrendous war.
And do you believe you can win the east of your country back?
Absolutely, I do believe that, and a lot of that depends on what kind of weapons we get. We need offensive weapons, because all the weapons which are now used in Ukraine are used for the defensive purposes. We've seen the massacre of Bucha, and all the occupied territories of Ukraine, civilian population is now being terrorized, is now being tortured, is now being subdued, because the aim of this terror is not just to terrorize the people, but to make them petrified, make them intimidated so they don't resist.
I imagine it's awful to be here on the other side of the world watching on TV or news reports what's happening back in your own country. And you were saying before that you have friends who are fighting. How do you watch that?
Look, for me as a wartime ambassador, that's my war. I believe I can serve my country here. And that's what I've been doing since the day I arrived here. So it's 24/7 for me. It's 24/7 for my people there in the trenches. And so this is just, I take it as it is. I still have my parents there, my mother-in-law in central Ukraine, my brother, my relatives, everybody's out there, and everybody is now a target because there's not a safe place in Ukraine. Missiles are flying to all parts of the country, everywhere.
You were at the National Press Club last week when we had the Defence Minister's debate. Is Australia doing enough for its own defence?
Look, I am not in a position to provide any comments on the Australian defence, to be frank. But what I was very pleased about is that I saw bipartisan support from the Minister of Defence, Peter Dutton, and the Shadow Defence Minister, Brendan O'Connor, and both of them are supportive of Ukraine, and that applies to both parties. And for me as an ambassador, this is very important, that this issue is not political. That's an issue which Australian people and Australian government feel strong about, and they want to support Ukraine no matter who's going to be running the country.
What's your advice for Australia in dealing with superpowers like Russia and China as they seek to muscle up?
Look, what we need to avoid is actually, we need to avoid that any country can change the border of the country by force. And because that creates a very negative precedent, and if the response to this invasion is weak, that may actually create an example for other countries in the Middle East, in Asia, to follow. And this is exactly what happened, because when Putin invaded Georgia in 2008, when Putin invaded Ukraine in 2014, the reaction of the Western world was weak, and therefore it emboldened Putin to mount this assault on Ukraine, which is now done. And everybody is now watching how it's all going to play out. If Putin wins, that's going to have some serious repercussions globally.
President Putin has confirmed his attendance at the G20 later this year in Indonesia. What response would you like to see from world leaders? Should places like Australia boycott?
Look, I think it's very simple. I think the G20 countries have to make a decision to boycott Putin and not then disinvite him from that event. It's very simple, and they should go and still go to Bali, right in where they meet, and have that meeting, but without Russia involved. I think that's the solution, because I can hardly imagine for a prime minister of Australia, whoever that going to be, sitting at the same table as Vladimir Putin.
Is there anything to be gained from sitting down with President Putin and having discussions?
No, not anymore. There could be some discussions 2 months ago, but not anymore. I think it just doesn't make any sense. That man has to go.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.